Trump's visit to Central Illinois is generating huge social media numbers, and Illinois State's School of Communication, Social Media Analytics and Command Center, or SMAC Lab, has been monitoring and analyzing this public conversation. Nate Carpenter is the Assistant Director of Convergent Media in the School of Communication and runs the SMAC Lab. Nate, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Thank you very much for having me, Mike.
So what are you monitoring, and how did you determine a starting point, when to start monitoring?
Certainly. Well, our monitors, we use two different kinds of monitors. The first goes by keywords, and what that lets us do is take any phrase or any hashtag that we think is going to be used in the social web, and we take that and we include it in a search term. And so at this point, we were looking for any phrase that contained Trump and Bloomington, Trump and Blono, and all sorts of different variations of that, anticipating that that's how people might be talking about the campaign. So that was our first search, and we began that really Saturday night, anticipating that many people would be starting to talk about their overall anticipation of the event, as well as any plans to either protest or to share other information about protests. And we also have a secondary means that we work with called geotag searching. We use a company called Geofedia to actually highlight regions on a map that then allow us to see any content that is geotagged within that space. So between those two, and we actually began the geotag searching overnight so that we could capture anything, you know, if anybody was standing in line ahead of the event. Between those two, we like to triangulate the data.
And what did you find with Geofedia?
Certainly. Well, with Geofedia, we captured 100 posts that were connected to the event itself. And there were really, I'd say, about three different categories of posts that we would pick up on. The first were the protests, just like we heard in the previous segment there, either coming from protesters or people just filming the protesters themselves. The second would be people who would be either Trump supporters or people attending out of curiosity, filming the event to record it for posterity, to show that they were there. And with those, we saw different kinds of posts. Some might be Instagram, so taking selfies, or others were actually doing live Periscope filming. And Periscope is a live streaming app that lets people, again, stream in video from anywhere in the world. So we saw a number of those, and those were very interesting because it wasn't only supporters and members of the crowd, but also members of Trump's campaign that were kind of taking that footage as they were getting off the plane.
And do we know if most of the posts were coming from Trump supporters or from those who oppose Trump? And does one group have a greater predisposition to post anyway?
Certainly. I think on the first end, if we're doing our keyword searching, because we're now looking at a national level search, we're certainly seeing far more Trump supporters and members of the larger news media covering the event. Last count, which was earlier this morning, I think we identified about 240 to 250 posts that were covering Bloomington protesters themselves, either protesters posting their own images or people posting about them. And we captured close to 9,000 posts. Posts that, again, contain those keywords about Bloomington and Trump and the Trump rally altogether. And of those, I'd say, again, the vast majority were people either retweeting things that Trump were saying, retweeting other news sources.
We can assume supporters.
Right. We could assume supporters or at least people who were cued in and curious to what they were seeing. So, very, very minimal protest activity at this event in terms of, again, social media coverage.
And let's back up a bit. You touched on this. Let's talk about some of the tools you're using. There's Nuvi, Geofedia, and others, and the differences in what you find using these tools?
Certainly. So once again, Nuvi is the keyword-based tool that we're using. And with Nuvi, what we have to do is very strategically create a search. Because again, if we were to just search for the word Trump, we would get everything on the planet that contains the word Trump, which could be, again, completely irrelevant. It would take us a long time to sift through all that data. So we have to really focus on what kinds of keywords and what kinds of we have to predict what people may say. So again, in this case, we're looking for Trump and Bloomington or Trump and Blono, Trump rally in Bloomington. So all sorts of different variations of that. Again, as opposed to Geofedia, which is the opposite approach, which is capture everything and then filter through that. And again, we could do that based upon a location on a map. And so we actually highlighted a few blocks around the vicinity of the airport and the hangar. And again, with that though, geolocated posts are very, very rare. Not many platforms automatically produce that. And many people actually turn off the location services on their mobile devices. So when we see, you know, 100 posts coming from a location, in reality, they're probably, you know, I'd say at least, you know, 500 to 1,000 actually being produced and created in that space. But again, because of those limitations about how mobile carriers identify and stamp the exact GPS location, we end up not seeing everything that is produced. But it does give us a good sampling set.
Nate Carpenter is the Assistant Director of Convergent Media in the School of Communication. We're talking about his analysis of local social media as it concerns the Trump rally. You say the Trump rally went viral. What do you mean by that?
Certainly. By viral, what we mean is that we're seeing a tremendous amount of sharing of original posts that are created. So for a good example of that, when we look at our Nuvi monitors, we see that, again, there were 8,300 posts during the day, I think is our exact number here, that we were able to capture using those search terms. And those are posts coming from Twitter, coming from Instagram, coming from to some degree, Facebook, although that is a very limited source of public information at this point, as well as blog sources and RSS feeds. And when we see those posts, we also have to keep in mind that people share things and that this is going out to very large audiences. There may only be 8,000 posts, but some of these Twitter users may have millions of followers. And so if those followers see something, they also tend to retweet outwards as well. So when we say viral, what we mean is that people are picking up on certain posts and sharing them beyond this initial audience.
And do you have a number?
We do. So looking at yesterday's event, we have an initial audience of about 18 million social media users.
Just related to the Trump event.
Just related to the Trump event, right. And again, that could be anything from Twitter activity to blog activity to Instagram activity. And then again, we see what we call spread, or again, this notion of viral activity, people sharing things beyond this initial posting. And we saw an additional at least 17 million users. So altogether, we could say 35 million people were seeing something in the social web about this, again, Trump rally in Bloomington.
That's unbelievable. Let's talk for a moment about a surreal moment you had when Trump's director of social media, Dan Scavino, stepped off the plane. Can you tell me about that?
Right. So we were watching the live stream through a YouTube channel. And as we were watching that, we noticed that Dan Scavino actually had out his iPhone. At least I believe it was an iPhone. It sure looked like it. And we could see that he was holding it up in front of his face and moving around as if he were taking video or a selfie. And so we quickly trained in our Geofedia monitor to that location. And in fact, we could see right there at that moment was the live Periscope stream. So here we were. We're watching, again, this live event on YouTube, followed by this alternative perspective. It was almost like wearing VR goggles because of the way that we were seeing both of these at the same time. So we could see briefly the interior of the Trump plane. We could see Scavino coming down the stairs and walking towards, again, this audience of people in the hangar, who, in some cases, were also posting their own Periscope live streaming videos as well.
During the rally, there was a social media peak. Let's listen to that moment.
Want to say hello? Say hello. Come on.
I'm surprised I'm up here. I came to this country when I was 5 years old, and my dad went through how to get a citizenship, and we did it by the book. And I'm here because I'm agitated that the media does not separate legal immigration from illegal.
And this was the individual who was wearing the homemade shirt that said legal immigrant for Donald Trump. What happened online as it related to what happened on stage?
Exactly. Well, several alternative news sources picked up on that immediately and took screenshots off of YouTube. Or again, there were some images that were being taken right at that moment and began to share that. And when we looked at the overall data, that was certainly one of the most shared posts. I'm going to see if I can find the exact numbers there. But that picked up very quickly, and especially in terms of overall positive sentiments. People saw this as a really high note in the overall experience of that day. And again, that was being shared, I think, as a way of especially Trump supporters to say that we're not all about the hate that protests, or at least protesters are saying that we are about. We are actually inclusive, and people from different backgrounds do indeed support Trump. So we saw that take off. Again, I'm not able to get the exact numbers. It's going to take us days of analysis to really break down the exact size and scope of some of these. But again, we did see that peak in terms of people being very excited.
WGLT benefited from its Facebook post about Trump, approaching 40,000 views, almost 250 shares. What were you able to tell from the Smack Lab about Trump's coverage and his relationship with mainstream media or alternative media like The Daily Beast or Breitbart News?
Certainly. When we look at that relationship right now, what's been very interesting is how it's been changing. I think initially, a lot of experts have been pointing out that Trump has been getting an immense amount of essentially free airtime from major media outlets. And recently, that's been changing, and Trump has become a bit more... I'd say less covered by mainstream media.
They're requiring him to maybe do studio appearances rather than phoners.
Precisely. And so that relationship is changing. And what we see is Trump providing a little bit of outlash, saying that now mainstream media, just like the establishment Republican Party, is turning their backs on him. And it feeds into his message very well, saying, I'm no longer establishment. I'm going to go to different sources of media. And we're seeing that especially getting picked up by alternative sources. Trump and Breitbart have had a little bit of a falling out recently, but we still see a tremendous amount of Breitbart coverage, especially in the social web. We have alternative sources of news as well, like The Daily Beast, covering these kinds of events through, again, their social media accounts. But I think what was most interesting was to see a particular YouTube stream, which was through Right Side Broadcasting, and they provide the live stream for this event. And during the event itself, we saw it peak out at about 33,000 views at that moment. And there were some Trump supporters during the day who were actually sharing that link, basically making that argument that mainstream media is not going to cover this, so we have to go here. And so they made a very strong effort to get that shared.
Were there any tweets from anyone about Trump's comments about a Carrier air conditioner plant being relocated to Mexico? This plant is not in Illinois. It's in Indianapolis, Indiana. It gives one the sense that perhaps Trump didn't have a full grasp of his location yesterday.
You know, we didn't see anything in our searches so far about Carrier. I think what was actually kind of telling is we also follow all of Donald Trump's tweets as well, and that he actually never directly mentioned Bloomington in any of his own tweets and really allowed the rest of his campaign and crew, such as Scavino and Pastor Mark Burns, I believe, really do that kind of work, again, revving up the local social media community. So again, we didn't really see any mention of that come up. And in fact, we didn't see any mention of the lack of mentioning about Mitsubishi either. So again, it's a very different world in terms of what was emphasized and what was discussed.
At the end of the rally, there were some feel-good tweets and posts?
Yes, there were.
And how did those spread? What was the impact?
Sure. I'd say the overall impact was people were very excited about the end. I think the exact line was wild cheers are going up for the end of the campaign. The overall impact of that is a little tricky to see right at this moment, but I would say that got out to at least 100,000 people by means of retweets and sharing of that post.
A lot of feel-good tweets for the fact that it was a peaceful event, no arrests, that kind of thing as well.
Right. And again, we don't directly monitor Facebook, but we do send interns and other research assistants out to take a look at larger social media. And we saw exactly that emerge, especially on the Bloomington Police Department's Facebook page, describing exactly that there weren't any major incidents that were reported or any problems.
Okay, Nate Carpenter, thanks for your time on Sound Ideas today. Nate Carpenter is the Assistant Director of Convergent Media in the School of Communication and runs the Smack Lab, or Social Media Analytics and Command Center Lab. You're listening to Sound Ideas.